John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it. These things I command you, that ye love one another. We'll end our reading there, verse 17, and we know God will bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts. Now, those of you who are here with us last Wednesday evening will remember that we turned and opened our remarks and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10 and verse 10. In the latter part of the verse, when the Lord stated his mission for coming into the world, and he said to his disciples and to each one of us here in the meeting tonight, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. And we were considering the wonderful theme of abundant life and the story of resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. Now, it's interesting to notice that as you continue on, you follow the footsteps of the Savior, that the Savior now is in the upper room, the curtain is drawn, he sat apart alone with his disciples. And the Lord's great desire once again is to lay before them the abundant life that he came and he laid down his life upon the cross that they might obtain. Last words are always very precious words. And these last words of the Savior in the upper room ought to be very special to each one of us this evening. Now, we have in this chapter the wonderful story of the vine and the branches. And the Lord reminds us in verse 5, and he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And as you look at the story of the parable of the vine and the branches, I believe again that the Lord takes us a step further into some of the marks or characteristics of the more abundant life that he came to give to each one of us. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, that the abundant life is a life of partaking. The abundant life is a life of partaking. Underline again the words of verse 5. And the Lord says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Listen, for without me ye can do nothing. And what the Lord was stressing here was the union of the believer with himself. And just as he is the vine and the vine, we are the branches. And the branches receives its life from the vine. And the branches without the vine can do absolutely nothing. And this is why the Lord says, and only the Lord could say this, as the God-man, without me ye can do nothing. And Peter reminds us in his epistle that we're partakers of the divine nature. And that happens when we're saved, we're born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. The miracle of regeneration takes place within our souls, and we become partakers of the abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ came to give to us. You know, it's very important to understand that there is only one Christian life, and that is the life of the risen, crucified Lord Jesus residing within each one of us. And you'll find how the Lord brings this out even in John 4. And he says in that little phrase, abide in me and I in you. And again in verse 5 he says, he that abideth in me and I in him. And here we have the secret of abundant life. It's a life of partaking. We partake of the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Do you remember Paul tells us, writing to the Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in the third chapter of he speaks of Christ, our life. And it's important to understand that there's only one Christian life, and that is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Ghost within our hearts, the risen Lord lives his life out through us. Remember Dr. Ironside telling the story on one occasion, and he happened to tell about this property. Estate agent, he was had a property for sale, and it was lying there for some time, and on the grounds was an old factory building. And this businessman came in and he showed great interest in buying this piece of property. And the salesman, trying to make a good impression, he made an appointment and they met at the set time and they went to the site that was for sale and the old building. And he began to give the man a guided tour around. And he said, you see that broken window there? Don't worry about that. We'll get that fixed. See that door that's not hanging right there? We'll have a man in and we'll get it fixed. And see those loose floorboards as he went round, pointing out the defects that the man would notice. We'll get all these repairs done before you move in. Man said little, and eventually the contract was signed, sealed and delivered. Then the man looked at him and he said, sir, he said, see all those repairs that you were going to do? Forget about it. He said, we're going to pull that down and we're going to build a power station upon that site. And you know, that's what the Christian life is. It's a power station erected by God the Holy Ghost. And when the Lord comes into our hearts, all the risen power of Christ indwells within us. And we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. O child of God, realize your standing in Christ, that the abundant life is a life of partaking. It's not Stanley Barnes, but rather we can say with Paul, Christ liveth in me. But then I want you to notice it's not only a life of partaking, but it's a life of producing. It's a life of producing. If you noted carefully in the verses that we read together from this chapter, you'll notice at least five times you have the word fruit. And that's a very important word to underline in this chapter. Look at verse 2. And the Lord says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Then again, if you look at verse 8, he says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." And as the Lord unfolds this message of abundant life, he talks about fruit, he talks about more fruit, and then he comes to the climax with much fruit. The Lord wants us to know that the Christian life is a life of producing fruit. It's interesting to notice in the book of Genesis chapter 1. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not. But everything that God created that had life in it, it was made to reproduce. Whether it was the trees or the seeds of the field, or whether it was the animals, the birds in the air, all made to reproduce. And then when it came to the creation of man himself, the Lord's command was, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And what's true in the old creation is true in the new creation, that we're created to reproduce and to produce fruit. Do you remember what the Lord said to the disciples? He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And when you're saved, the Lord saves you to make you fruitful and to bring forth fruit in your life that will glorify him. Now, a preacher has got to be careful what he always says in the pulpit. The late Pastor William Mullen, who I greatly loved and admired, Pastor William Mullen, in the course of the Bible study one night, he happened to make the comment that he needed a new pair of braces. I don't know how he got round to that, but he just made that as an off-the-cuff remark. See, that Christmas, he got something like 32 pairs of braces. And it turned out, from that moment on, he was the best-supported pastor in the whole of the Baptist Church. Have to be careful. But, you know, there was another preacher, and he had a very successful gospel campaign. And he was moving on a Friday night to another city to take up a gospel campaign there. And on the Thursday evening, he happened to make the remark, "You know, when I'm traveling, sometimes I like to take a bit of fruit with me and eat it on the train." And everybody came down to see him off at the train, and everybody brought a bag of fruit. And it was like, corn, I was going to say May's Market. I was just full of fruit. And the old pastor said he had too much fruit. But you know, you never get to that stage in the Christian life. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. It's a life of producing. We'll not go into the fruit. There's spiritual fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. There's gospel fruit and winning souls for Christ. There's financial fruit, that what you give financially can bring forth a fruit and can be a means of great support in the work of God. And so, the abundant life, it's a life of partaking, it's a life of producing. But then here's something that perhaps we don't really like. It's a life of pruning. Listen to what the Lord says here in verse 2. He says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit," listen, "he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Now, you'll notice in verse 1, he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." That is the vine dresser. And something the vine dresser has to do, and it's a very skillful thing, and that is that he has to prune the vine sometimes. And he has to take the knife. For example, there might be, comes to a branch, and it's not bearing fruit the way that the other branches are. And he notices, by looking at it, it's discolored a bit, and there's sour sap. And he'll take his knife, and he'll make a little incision, and he'll bleed the vine, and the sour sap will come out. And then that branch will begin to bring forth more fruit. And you know, the Lord reminds us here that as Christians, he has to take the pruning knife. And if you look there in verse 3, he says, "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And it's the Word of God as the pruning knife. And the Lord has to come. And sometimes through His Word, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, the Lord has to come to our hearts and our lives. And He has to convict us and cleanse us from things that are not glorifying to Him. And so it's a life of pruning. Let me say this, that this is something the fine dresser does. I meet Christians and they're always sorting out everybody else. And I want to take the pruning knife and cut into other people's lives and tell them how they should be living. I used to say in Belfast, if you keep your own doorstep clean, you'll be doing well. And I tell you, that's a lesson to learn. Learn to keep your own doorstep clean. And if you do that, it's a full-time job, beloved. And I've known people and they've taken the pruning knife and they've gone to young Christians and they've cut into them. And they're very sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. And we need to learn to have patience and grace and love. The Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. And sometimes we speak the truth, but we don't speak it in love. I think of a fellow, the pastor, gave the invitation on a Tuesday night for to go out on outreach work. And this fellow got saved previous Sunday. He was a hippie in those days. You remember the hippies? Maybe you're one yourself, Sammy Davis, I don't know. But I had the hippies in those days. And this fellow got wonderfully saved. He had long hair, beard, a rough beard, and all the hippie gear. And on a Tuesday night, he turned up for the outreach. And the workers looked at one another, what are we going to do here? And the old man in charge, he was very wise, said, you come along with me, son. He took him out and door-to-door work. And it wasn't very long till they came to the door, and he said, now you speak to whoever comes to the door and tell them how you were saved. And the door opened, there was this wee woman. And there's always some wee woman to keep you right. And the young fellow said, well, I'm saved and I've come to talk to you about the Lord Jesus. The wee woman looked at him and said, saved and dressed like that? Catch yourself on, son. If you were really a Christian, you wouldn't be dressed like that. You would be different. And the man standing there, he said, he cringed. And how's this young fellow going to take it? But you know, the following week, the young fellow turned up again for the outreach. And this time he had the haircut and the beard was gone. Nice suit on. You know what the Lord had done? Every branch that bringeth forth fruit, He purgeth it. And that's what the Lord was doing. And the Lord purged him. And the young man got his act together. And you know, those of us who are older Christians need to learn to have love for young people. And they don't always do things the way we would like them to do it. And I thank God, looking back over my Christian experience, for times when I fell and didn't do things right, for the old believers that took me by the scruff of the neck and showed me love and encouraged me to go on with God. Oh, it's a life of pruning. But then notice quickly that this abundant life, it's a life of praying. It's a life of praying. Look at verse 7. What wonderful promises we have here. And the Lord says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What a promise the Lord gives to His disciples concerning prayer. But I want you to notice, and Mr. Nicholson used to say when he came to this promise, now don't boil it down with unbelief. Don't boil it down. The Lord means what He says. If you ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. But it's conditional. And the condition is this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And abiding and asking go together. Dr. Ironside, one occasion he met a young girl who stopped coming to the church and backslidden. And he said to her, Mary, I've missed you out at the meetings. Is there any reason why you've stopped coming? Well, she looked at him, she says, Dr. Ironside, the Lord let me down. Oh, he says, is that right, the Lord let you down? How did that happen? Oh, she said, well, you know, she said, my father was very seriously ill, and I prayed that the Lord would heal him, and I claimed the promise, if you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. And I prayed that God would heal my father, and he didn't, and my father died. The Lord let me down. Old Dr. Ironside, with love and tenderness, he said, Mary, now, he said, there's a condition to that promise. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. And Mary, when you were backslidden, and you were going to the dances, and you were living for the things of the world, you weren't abiding in the Lord. You were following afar off. And you know, beloved, every promise of the Word of God is conditional. And living a holy life and claiming the promise goes hand in hand. And we can't divorce the one from the other. If you want to know power in prayer, then you've got to know what it is to be abiding in Him. And God's Word supreme in your heart. And you're keeping God's commandments. But one last thought, and it's this. The abundant life, it's a life of practicing or performing. It's a life of performing. You know, isn't it remarkable that the Lord has to say to his disciples in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And that's a message in itself. And Christian, the badge of discipleship is love. Badge of discipleship is love. And here's a strange thing. The Lord has to say to his disciples, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Isn't that strange that he actually has to command Peter, James, and John and this bunch of disciples, you have to love one another. And I want you to notice he doesn't say like one another. There's people you couldn't like. We often use the expression in Belfast, you couldn't like them if you reared them. And that's true of people, and some of God's people. And I learned in the work of the pastorate, God didn't call me to like or dislike people. God called me to love people. And love never faileth. Love wins every time in the life of the believer. Do you know what? There's a great lack today amongst us as fundamentalist, Bible-believing Christians is love. You see, the badge of discipleship is not how well you know all about Bible prophecy. It's not all about how well you know the doctrines of grace and the 5 points of Calvinism and all the rest of it. The great evidence that you're a Christian is love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Remember, at Bible school, there was a fella, and he prayed, and he was waxing eloquent, and he said, Lord, I don't know why you ever loved me. And this fella beside him shouts out, neither do I, Lord. And sometimes we're like that, aren't we? But we've got to learn to love one another, and it's love that makes the difference. D.L. Moody's church was burned by the great fire in Chicago. And he had a tremendous Sunday school work going, something like 600 to 1,000 children in attendance. But they had to move their site to cross the town to another place. And this wee fella made his way from across town to the other place. And Moody wondered why he had come all this distance to come to the Sunday school. And he said, well, what brings you to our Sunday school? And the wee boy looked up and he says, Mister, they know how to love a fella here. the no harder love a fella here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And all those fruits come out of love. And you and I as Christians, we need to learn to get back to New Testament Christianity, to the abundant life, and learn to love one another. May the Lord write His word this evening upon our hearts.